when he hears their reaction to it, he's like, oh, I don't repent after all. I'm not sorry I sent it, because it works so well. And that's what he says, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry. But just for a little while. Why? Because they took action. They were sorry, but they did not sorrow to despair and think like, oh, we'll never please God. We'll never be able to live up to this. But instead, they sorrowed to repentance. And there's a different, interesting in this chapter, I think there's a couple different words for repent used coming up. This was the one, metanoia. And it means noia had to do with the mind, I believe. And meta is like to have a different thoughts or change your mind is really, literally what it means. A reversal of minds or thought, you know, to change your mind. Metanoia. Like, we use the meta in, like, metamorphic rock, meaning rock that has been changed by the action of the Earth's crust. And there are some computer terms that use meta, but I'm not familiar with them very well. But I assume it means changeable. I mean, the mind had been changed. Mind had been reversed. You sorrowed to a change of heart, a change of mind. Which was after a godly manner. So that we didn't hurt you with this. You know, you weren't damaged by us. You know, the last thing I want to do, and you know, I've had times when I'm writing people and I feel like I need to come down on them in emails and so on and so forth. And then you wonder if you maybe were too harsh. You know? You don't want to damage people. I don't want to dash their faith. You know, instead of Christ, the smoking flax he would not quench. And to me that means when someone's embers are burning low, you don't snuff it out with, careless words and coarse speech to try to really... Though I tell you, sometimes playing, you know, well, one, it's fine. You know, sometimes we can play the bad guy and make them hate us so much that they defy us. But that's not always wise. It may work in Hollywood movies, but in real life, you need to be careful. Because I don't want to sacrifice my soul simply to provoke someone else to a good attitude. So I don't want to damage people as I go about trying to help them. And that's something people do all the time. And you know what? And you know why they do it? They get so focused on this is what's right. And instead of... And so they get so focused on that they don't see the fact that they're beginning... And it's fine you stand up for what is right. I believe that. But you got to recognize when you're beginning to trample someone's heart, or you're beginning to damage them. And I don't mean someone who's just, you know, out and out fighting and hard. If they're fighting and hard, they're not damaged. As far as not by you. Obviously, others have damaged them. And I realize I'm being somewhat vague in saying what I just said, but I'll leave it like that. I don't want to get into specifics as far as any particular situations I've had arise. But the idea is, use care. Use wisdom. You have the Holy Spirit, then He should be able to guide you. And also, if we make a mistake, we don't despair. It's an opportunity for us to recognize something that needs to change in a way in which we can perfect holiness. Because if the flaws in our character are not revealed to us, let's say you never have an opportunity to damage someone. You may not realize that you're very capable of hurting someone. You know, you may not realize that you're clumsy when it comes to dealing with people who are in delicate situations. And you may not realize that, yeah, you know, you could really hurt somebody. So the Lord may bring along someone who doesn't matter to God, for you to screw up, so that you could repent. So then when it comes to the next time, that you can do it right, when it really matters. And even if they brought, even if you make a mistake with someone, if God wants to save them, He will find a way for them besides you. So in my faith, I trust God. And in my errors, I repent. But also, I do not lose faith, because it's Him that's got to work in me to will and do His good pleasure. I don't know what I'm doing. It's got to be taught to me. Righteousness is a strange thing to me. Perfection is a mystery. Don't even know what that's like. And people who say, you know, that's the thing, is people talk about perfection like they even know what it is. Like they've seen it. I want to see it. I will be it. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. I'm sorry. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. So godly sorrow, meaning sorrow that, you know, that works repentance. That's what godly sorrow. You can tell godly sorrow because it works a change of mind. It works a change that brings us towards salvation. How do you know what leads to salvation? You know, because salvation, yes, God worked, did the works before the world even began. He determined it. But our perspective, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, our salvation isn't really finished till we're raised from the dead. The works were completed in Christ, yes, but it hasn't yet appeared. I mean,